Welcome and thank you for standing by. Today's call will now begin. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode for the duration of today's call. Today's call is also recorded. If there are any objections, you may disconnect. And now we'll turn it over to Dr. Amy Serta. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Hi, welcome everybody. This is the TRICARE ACD Manual Change webinar. Next slide, Chris. So thank you all for dialing in today. We really appreciate your continued engagement in the ACD as well as the support that you provide our military families. We greatly appreciate you joining us today. And I can see that there's still a number of people logging in right now. I'm sorry, we're on a tight timeline, so we're just gonna go ahead and jump right in. So the folks on the line today include ABA providers, direct care providers, EFMP offices, congressional staff, ABA advocates, and other ACD stakeholders. I'm one of your speakers today. My name is Dr. Amy Serta. I'm a nurse consultant with the TRICARE Health Plan, overseeing behavioral health and the ACD. And I also have Dr. Chris Deanna on the line. Chris, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Chris Deanna. I am a clinical psychologist here at the Medical Affairs Directorate at the Defense Health Agency, and I am the clinical lead for the Autism Care Demonstration. Amy, back to you.
Thank you. All right, so a review of the agenda. Today we're going to provide a high-level overview of the changes to the manual. We're not going to be discussing any one change in detail because that will occur in subsequent webinars. We plan to hold another three after this. So the purpose of today is to introduce the changes. You know, we'll talk through some of those changes and then also talk about a timeline over the next several weeks and months and provide guidance for next steps. We want you to be able to digest these revisions in an organized way so that it is not overwhelming. We know there's a lot of exciting changes in here, and we are very excited to share. So after we quickly review the sections, we'll talk about the implementation timeline for the various components and discuss the next webinars. And then lastly, we will close with guidance on how to submit questions and the plan we have in place to sort and organize those questions. Next slide, Chris.
Before we move on, I just want to make sure that everybody can dial in or hear the audio. We've gotten some comments about people maybe in Adobe who are not able to hear. There is the audio instruction box just in the screen. If you are unable to hear the audio, please use the dial-in number. I'll say it now just in case you can't see. It's 888-469-3081, and the participant code is 319-1116. All right, so I'll move on to the next slide.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I can see several comments about the no audio.
I'll keep working on that.
Okay, thanks. All right, so for the housekeeping, phone lines are in listen-only mode. You know, in past presentations, we've had over 1,000 people attend, so we really wanted to allow time to get the information out, so the lines are muted. Again, please submit the questions via the ACD email box or through the Q&A box on the Adobe platform, and we'll address these questions or concerns in upcoming webinars. Again, please be respectful. Just a reminder that the webinar is being recorded today. And the download box you can see in the Adobe platform contains the slides and the manual. You can actually download the documents from that box. And then we will also post the slides to the health.mil/autism webpage following this presentation, just as we always do. Next slide. So hooray! The manual published yesterday. Very, very exciting for us. In addition to all the other places I just mentioned that you can get slides from, you can also locate the manual at the link on this slide. Next slide. And over to you, Chris.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about how we got here today. So this this manual changes the culmination of many, many stakeholder input over several years. As a matter of fact, we started working on this change in 2017. There was industry input and collaboration, like I mentioned, from a variety of stakeholders, to include our military health system providers, you all as ABA providers, family feedback, advocacy groups, and researchers who have connected with us over the years. We also, part of the change, included literature reviews. You know, the obviously there's a lot of literature being published, and so we have been keeping up with the research and the available literature. Also, we're keeping tabs on the commercial and Medicaid plans, so we're looking at the changes, what has been offered, what has evolved over time, as well as the available practice recommendations. Several groups have published various recommendations. The most recent, actually the 2020 was the American Academy of Pediatrics, their practice recommendations. So things like that have been incorporated. As all of you know, the medical records documentation has been a focus for the last several years, so that was part of our review. And then lastly, all of the reports that have been published, both within and outside the DHA, so the DOD-OIG report. If we go to the next slide. So again, the motivation for some of this change, or all of this change, is really the priorities of the autism care demonstration. Many of you, I hope, are familiar with the six goals of the autism care demonstration, and those are identified in paragraph 3. Of the manual, and they range from, you know, appropriate diagnosing and treating provider qualifications to how do we administer and manage this benefit. But I think the other more important driving forces are really about the child or the beneficiary and their family. This change is the beneficiary and the family are at the hub of this change, and we are going to target them as the focus of all of our discussions going forward. So again, this is it's now a truly comprehensive approach to providing care for our beneficiaries diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. What we are committing to in this change is really not like as was before, but enhancing now the ultimate outcome for each individual beneficiary. So enhancing beneficiary and family support, making sure we keep improving on the outcomes, our parental involvement and supports available, increasing or improving our utilization management, and the revisions of the Adaptive Behavior Services Code. So we have, we'll talk about that a little bit today and more so in future webinars. I will move on to the next slide. So here is a layout. If I were to take all the headings out of the revised manual, here is a layout of the major topic areas. Most of them should look familiar to you, but the arrangement has changed a little bit. For example, you know, definitions used to be paragraph 4. Now they're paragraph 11. When you look at the manual itself, it is all red, which means that we've done an overhaul of changes. Again, some of it's not necessarily content changes, just we renumbered, reorganized, ultimately to produce a streamlined document from beginning to end. If we look at the next slide, these areas are the target areas that we'll be talking about today in the next several sessions. Where the concentrated efforts of revisions and improvements are found. You can see that, you know, beneficiary eligibility, autism services coordination, parent and family support, ABA services, and the ACD requirements. And again, these numbers correspond to the respective paragraphs in the manual change. Amy, back to you.
Thanks, Chris. So I just want to address like two things really quick. To download the slides and the TOM, the manual change, you go to the downloads box and you can download from there. Okay, so areas of change. Beneficiary eligibility, this was a big change. There's some changes to the diagnosis requirements, and we also removed the requirement for that confirmatory diagnosis. The goal here was to help remove barriers. And as you all may be aware of, the current process of allowing some 90-day extensions for the ECHO provisional process, we also removed that. So this puts it more in line with other ECHO services where it's just the 90 days flat. However, through the contractors, we will offer a non-clinical support to help families through that enrollment process beyond the 90 days. The ASN, while this is a contractor requirement, we felt it's good for everybody to be aware. These ASNs, or they're called Autism Service Navigators, are specialized care managers or coordinators that are assigned to each new family entering the ACD. They are a critical piece to ensure families receive accurate, timely information about all the available TRICARE coverage treatment and service options. And they will work with the family and providers to help connect with other clinical and non-clinical services, including even local area services to help manage the beneficiary's care. And that could be things like Military One Source, the Sesame Street program, or even local level police department programs that might be available. They'll also help include the outcome measures into what's called the CCP, or the Comprehensive Care Plan. That's also a new requirement that's linked to the ASN, but we'll go into more details about that in future webinars. I just want to note, though, that there is a big difference when you're reviewing that manual and you're looking at the CCP. There's a big difference between that and an ABA treatment plan. They are not the same. The ASN will also offer transition support. But like I said, we're going to go into a lot more details regarding the ASN in the next session. Another big component is the parent and family support. This is also a contractor requirement, but they will be able to provide support and information to the families. This is a really important change, and we hope we will provide great benefits to the families. Next slide. Chris, back to you.
Yes, thank you. So now I'm going to target a little bit of the autism or the ABA section in the manual, and this is found in paragraph 8. It spans several pages, and I'm highlighting here on this slide 10 the various components to draw your attention in particular. You can see I have some missing numbers there. They are important, but they some of them have no changes and some of them have minor changes. So just take a look. Let me call attention to some of these now. Provider requirements, you'll notice that for the most part, things have not changed. We've just streamlined into reducing redundancies, things like that. But things that remain, you know, everybody has to have a certification. Everybody has to have BLS or CPR equivalent training. The newest one is about all provider levels. So the BCBA, the assistant, and the technician will have to have an NPI. And we have a timeline implementation for that, so it's not immediate that you have time to get it. The current providers will have to obtain that within a couple of months. The other one about provider requirements is about re-signing participation agreements, and the contractors, as they are finalizing their processes, will be able to communicate how to do that. Moving on, referrals and authorizations. Timelines of referrals have not changed, and timelines of authorizations have not changed, right? So a referral every 2 years and an authorization every 6 months. But there are some clarifications about what you need to do for each of those steps and how to secure, you know, the authorization as you progress. Outcome measures, there are some changes to the outcome measures to include an addition of the parent stress measures. We will go over those again in future sessions. Medical team conference is a CPT code that is added to the this benefit. It is a basic benefit CPT code, but we have added it to the demonstration to ensure that that we have a mechanism for collaboration with all treating providers. So please be sure to read that section. And again, we'll talk about this in the future. Documentation, it looks, again, it's all red. It looks like it has changed. We've actually tried to organize it so it flows more like how a treatment plan would work. Discharge planning, this is not a new section. It used to be called the periodic program review. But it is, in fact, discharge planning, so we will continue to use those criteria. There's the quality monitoring and oversight of the ABA providers and, you know, documentation and audits and things like that, so be sure to read that section. Exclusions have been revised, mostly the same, but we've added a few or provided clarification. CPT codes, there are some changes there too. Like I said in the beginning, we added a couple of CPT codes, and we are changing some of the MUEs, the medically unlikely edits, so be sure to check that out. And again, we'll talk about that more later. And reimbursement rates. So the codes themselves have not changed, and the reimbursement rates generally have not changed. We will continue to update those annually. As a matter of fact, the next ones will come, I think, in the next couple of months. But with the addition of those codes, we had some addition of reimbursement information, so be sure to check that out. And if we go to the next slide, it is back to you, Amy.
Thank you. So additional areas of change, these are all contractor requirements, but, for example, utilization management. While it's a contractor requirement, it will affect the ABA providers. So we want you to be aware of it and read this section. The additional contractor response, utilization management, we will go over that in more detail, you know, in a future session. The additional contractor responsibilities, it's a section in the manual with new requirements. Again, contractor requirements, that includes revisions to the online directory, resources, provider education, development, and additional activities. So just wanted to point to that. Outcome measures oversight includes guidance to contractors regarding acceptance of valid measures for reporting to DHA. As I'm sure you are all aware, we have a requirement to report outcome measures, so it's extremely important for us to receive valid scores. And then there's a provider network section. This will be more related to how networks are managed, access to care, the active provider placement piece. It's all new. So just want to direct your attention to that piece as well. And next slide, Chris. All right. So this manual change is a little bit different than past ones, for those of you that have been around a while. This one will come with a phased implementation timeline. So while the manual has published as of yesterday, once you start reviewing it, you'll see that not everything is going to occur immediately. Many things have times associated with them. It's a phased approach. So we wanted to provide you a visual that links some of those kind of major dates that are listed throughout the manual in a kind of an easy format to digest. So you see May 1st here on this timeline, you have the removal of the referral requirement for diagnosis provider for outcome measures. You have the confirmation diagnosis requirement removed as well. Then when we move on to July 1st, the Vineland and the SRS will change to a one-year cycle, which is the change from now a two-year cycle. August 1st, that's when the new CPT codes will hit, the T1023 removed, You'll see some MUE changes. UM will be implemented, and there's some revision of ABA provider requirements, such as the MPI. October 1st, there will be a revision of beneficiary eligibility. The ASN will go into effect for new beneficiaries, the parent toolkit, some more resources that are available for beneficiaries, and then we added the PSI and the SIPA for outcome measures. And then finally, January of next year will be the no later date for ABA provider education and the directory update. Next slide, Chris. So with all of these changes, they're pretty significant, as you can see. And so they're going to take time for the contractor to get processes in place for these changes. We know, we want you to know that the contractors are working and developing these processes for these changes, or will be working and developing. And so please be patient. And while we know many of you are very excited to see some of these changes, as we are, we want them to occur immediately, these things take time. So again, just please be patient. And as always, direct your policy change questions to DAJ. This will help us as we address questions and also allow the contractors to focus on establishing their processes. And back to you, Chris.
Great. So here are here's our timeline for the next several webinars. April 7th at 1 p.m. Eastern, we will talk about the Autism Services Navigator, that coordination role, as well as the Comprehensive Care Plan. So everything in paragraph 6 we'll address then. And if there's time, we'll try and squeeze in some other kind of additional changes, but the focus will be the ASN and the Comprehensive Care Plan. On April 16th at noon Eastern, we will talk about the ABA benefit section. So this is everything in paragraph 8.0, the one slide that I mentioned a little bit ago that has all of the 8.1, 8.2, you know, all of that. So that will be provider requirements, referrals and authorizations, CPT codes, outcome measures, audits, things like that. So that'll be the focus of April 16th. On April 21st, there will be at 1 p.m. Eastern, we will intend to close out the round robins of changes at that session. If we don't get through all of the topics, or if there are additional topics that through questions that we get that would require or necessitate an extra session, we will certainly add that after the April 21st date, but this is our intended timeline. So the next bullet there is about submitting questions. We welcome questions. Please submit them in advance of the session. The ones that are submitted the day of will have a harder time making sure they're included. So if you think of questions, please submit them in advance, and then we will assign them to the respective webinar time, so the 7th, the 16th, or the 21st. As a reminder, please do not send us any personally identifiable information or personal health information to the ACD email. This is not a secured email address, so anything that is sent is at risk for a HIPAA violation. Also, we at DHA don't have access to individual beneficiary information, so we would end up deferring all of that to the contractor anyway. So please be sure just to not send us any PII or PHI. And I'm moving on to the next slide. This is a plug for everybody to be subscribed. I'm not sure if everybody dialed in today is received our Gov Delivery message. If you did not and you found out other ways, fantastic. But I would also recommend that you subscribe to our Gov Delivery. This is the government platform for messaging. There are other things you can subscribe to, things like manual changes, COVID-related announcements, But obviously I'm here to plug the subscription to the ACD group. We have a parent group and a provider group, so feel free to subscribe. Again, just go to that link, look for the autism care demonstration group, and then subscribe accordingly. And then lastly, for our last slide of the half-hour slot, here is our the email address at the Defense Health Agency. So it's dha.acd@mail.mil. We welcome any question that you might have about the manual change. It's really important to kind of think through these, read through the manual, ask us anything that comes to mind, even if it's something that was historical or maybe needing clarification or looking for some additional information. We can certainly field those questions. For example, I'm going to give a few examples of questions that came in already. They're generic questions, but I think a good example. People are asking how to have various stakeholders submit questions. So, again, the dha.acd@mail.mil is a great email address for answering the policy questions. You know, parents, stakeholders, advocates, researchers, ABA providers, EFMP folks, if you're out there listening, certainly feel free to send questions there. We're getting many, many, many questions, even in the Q&A box currently. So our plan is to review each and every one of them and then essentially consolidate, because there have been a lot of repeat or kind of like duplicative questions at this point. So instead of reading each one independently, we are going to consolidate by topic and answer them. We will also put the Q&As after sessions, once we've answered them, on the health.mil website, like Amy mentioned in the very beginning. So all of the information that you see will be available. Another question that came in is about CPT codes. While we will address that in a coming session, I want to make a point that the CPT codes, the changes are taking effect August 1st, so that's several months from now. Some of that's about getting the contractor systems up to date, but it's also about reviewing, kind of doing your new assessments, changing your treatment plans. But note that that's an important component that we're going to address in a future webinar. Again, we recommend that everybody read through each section thoroughly. Send us the questions. We will facilitate. Our goal is to help facilitate understanding of the changes, how they apply to you, how they apply to the beneficiary, how they impact kind of the autism care demonstration as a whole. Again, a reminder, please do not send us PII or PHI. And thank you all for joining today. We look forward to your questions, and we hope to see each and every one of you and more April 7th for our next webinar. Thank you, everyone.